Hey, Storm Freaks, it's Phil. So, hey, we got a lot of shenanigans tonight, as usual. But if you remember him from the Discovery series Storm Chasers, now you're going to remember meteorologist Brandon Ivey from episode 207 of Stormfront Freaks Live!
Going green.
Greenage.
Saddle up.
You got it, boss.
So, hey, welcome to the most entertaining weather show. This is the award-winning Stormfront Freaks Live. By the way, we're now top 10 Earth Science podcast in both Canada and Mexico.
Yes!
So, to our freaks up north and down south, nice. Thank you and
cheers.
Gracias. So, that's awesome. But it's brought to you by our amazing Patreon teammates. We usually have them. We do right now. Have them scrolling across the bottom of the screen right now. Without them, we certainly wouldn't be able to do everything we do every single month and pay the bills to make this podcast and all that good stuff. So thanks to all of you, including new member Linda Baird, who just joined us. You can also become a part of our team. Just go to stormfrontfreaks.com. We've got lots of different tiers and levels. There's some where you get exclusive merch, Stormfront Freaks merch. We just sent out, what did we send out? We sent out some t-shirts from Helicity.co that are exclusive to our Patreon members that has our logo, right, with the tornado on it. But it's widened out, and you can see the whole supercell structure. And it's like from a textbook. It's got an arrow that says here's the inflow, and here's the tornado, and here's the wall cloud. So that's really one, that's really cool. Only Patreon members.
I know. Get that. I don't even have one. I know.
I don't even get one of those. But so lots of great, and you can join our group for just $5 a month and help support the show. We'll let you and have you become a part of our exclusive Facebook group. So we've got a Facebook group of over 50 of our past guests, as well as our co-hosts and Patreon teammates. And so we post stuff on there that we don't post on any of our other social media. It's just kind of a fun little place where we kind of do exclusive things for those that really support us, including those guests. We'll see things from our guests every once in a while. So anyway, jump to stormfrontfreaks.com and you can get some more information there. And it's happy hour tonight. Do you guys know that?
Woo!
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So it is happy hour. Certainly, if you're not new to the show, you know it's always happy hour. But this is always our way to introduce the co-hosts that are with us tonight, let you put a voice to that name, but also let you know we like to have a little fun. This isn't your equation and a deep forecasting. Well, we do some deep forecasting, I guess, but
we
don't get
too. We're not doing Q vectors or anything.
It's like drunk history. Yes. It's like drunk forecasting.
Yeah.
We nerd out, but not over mathematical equations. Is maybe
Thank
the best
God.
Way to say it.
Sometimes.
So, but Brandon, who knows? You got Brandon on tonight. We might nerd out on some mathematical equations. I know he's a meteorologist as well.
Oh,
but
man,
let's okay. We won't. I promise. I'll make sure we won't.
I don't know if I can remember back that far.
I know. That's why I won't do it to you.
Like I haven't used it.
But we've got, let's introduce first off, Dina Knightley, our meteorologist and weather producer at weather.com.
Ooh.
Dina, welcome. And what are you drinking tonight?
I'm just drinking a light beer. I drank that slurricane on the last one, and I literally was torn by the end of the show.
You were fun. You were
I
really
loved
fun
it,
on that last
but
show.
I don't want to pass out.
You're not ready for that tonight. One slurricane.
I'm not emotionally ready for that right now.
All right, then we got Jen Watson, our on-camera meteorologist at the Weather Channel. Jen, what are you imbibing this evening?
Cheers. This is a little bit of coffee and hot chocolate mixed together. I'm trying to stay awake right now. Phil, I got back yesterday from eclipse chasing and going to Niagara Falls. So I'm trying to stay awake.
I saw some photos, up at Niagara Falls. That looked good.
Yeah, it was super fun. So, cool. Right now, it's just long traveling week, so I'm trying to stay awake.
Awesome. Well, yeah. I'll tell you what, we've got MJ as always running the show in the back. We appreciate MJ. We kind of miss MJ being part of our co-host group, but ever since we kind of went live with this video stuff, it was probably my fault because we kind of turned it into a bigger production than typical. And so I think he likes not being distracted and being able to do that in the green room with Garrett and Dan are back there as well. So I think we're ready to roll, Jen. Let's get this party started.
Oh my God, let's do it. So I am so excited for this introduction. So Brandon, I have followed you forever, but all right. So we're talking to Brandon Ivy today, and he's been chasing storms since he was a teenager, and he saw his first tornado at the age of 16. He completed his degree in meteorology in 2007 and then became a part of the Discovery series Storm Chasers from 2009 to 2011 as the meteorologist and navigator of Sean Casey's Tornado Intercept Vehicle, or TIV2. Brandon currently leads tours at stormchasingtour.com. Brandon, like, seriously, I hope you understand that, yes, I went eclipse chasing and saw Niagara Falls, but, like, this is one of the biggest highlights of the week, interviewing you, Brandon. Wow. I watched you on Storm Chasers, and I'm such a mega geek, and I have to just understand, was there just a specific, like, a tornado or weather event that inspired you to become a meteorologist in Storm Chase, or did it just kind of happen later on in life?
Well, first of all, y'all are way too kind, because I'd say the eclipse was definitely more of a highlight. I've been waiting 7 years for that since the one in 2017. But yeah, just growing up as a kid, I was interested in science, really into astronomy, coincidental with the eclipse and everything. My dad would get me up. Luckily, he'd take me out at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning for meteor showers, lunar eclipses, and then some big events occurred around Wichita. Namely, first, I was around the age of 10, Heston tornado of 1990 came through. There's also the inland hurricane that they coined it that went through central Kansas with winds up to 125 miles per hour that same year. Following year was the Andover tornado, April 26, 1991. And then in 1992, June 19th, we had a couple really devastating hailstorms roll through Wichita, Kansas. One came about 6 o'clock in the morning. The tornado sirens went off. I remember my parents waking us up and going down into our basement. That storm came down northwest flow. It was moving northwest to southeast, dropped softball sized hail on the city of Wichita at 6 a.m. Another one came through at noon. But since I had been up since 6 a.m., I was, you know, glued to the Weather Channel watching all the up-to-date progress of that storm. And that's really what piqued my interest, you know, always fascinated in science, but it really kind of focused into weather just with the active weather we had in and around Wichita, 1990, 91, 92.
Wow, you guys really had some active events. And I just have to say softball size hail at 6 o'clock in the morning is not.
No one's ready for that.
Wow.
No one's ready for that. No one.
Bad wake up call.
That. Yeah, it is a wake-up call. It's the wake-up call you never want to get. So, Brandon, that's so incredible. Now, you say the first tornado that you've ever seen was when you were 16. Describe that. Did your dad take you out? Did you go out with friends? Was it solo? Describe that whole situation.
Yeah, growing up in Kansas, a lot of people think that you just automatically see tornadoes because you live in Tornado Alley, but that's not the case. It wasn't until I was a junior in high school, and I'd kind of gone out a couple times previous to that, but I was out with a girlfriend of mine at the time, age 16. I was a junior in high school, and
we were showing off to the girl, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we went up and chased actually the wrong storm that day. That just goes to show you kind of you get started, and it's even a learning experience to this day. And that's what's so fascinating about weather and meteorology. As much as you learn about it, Mother Nature's still going to throw you that curveball. But on this first tornado I ever captured, I went west of Wichita. The storm of the day was down to the southwest, coming out of Harper County into Sumner County. And produced multiple tornadoes. It was a cyclical supercell. But I was going west out of Wichita on Highway 54, And I could see the updraft base and the wall cloud, which really got my attention to the north. And since I could already see that storm, I went for that one. Well, that one produced a brief tornado. It was only on the ground for about 2 minutes, but it developed to my southwest. I was actually in the path of it. So for it being my first tornado, it was a small rope tornado. It didn't last very long, but I was elated because I'd finally
you saw it, though.
The right storm, yeah. And so, right. But in hindsight, you know, you should have gone for that southern storm, because if they're too close together, then that southern storm is basically going to steal a lot of energy from that storm that's situated up to the north. And that's what it did that day.
Now, was your girlfriend impressed?
We were both excited, yeah. I remember the profanity. I was so excited. I was cursing a little bit, and then a little embarrassed when I took it down to the National Weather Service in Wichita, because I wanted to show them what I had captured, and went in there and took it down on VHS tape, just kind of, you know, to kind of, I guess, coordinate with them on the storm and stuff. And, but yeah, it was an exciting, you know, start to the storm chasing and stuff. And then I saw one in 99 and 98, and started slowly getting more and more into storm chasing from then on.
So was that your first mode of photography and videography, was the shoulder harnessed VHS?
Yeah, that's it was my dad's camcorder. And I would borrow it, big old VHS tapes, a big camcorder. Yeah, the batteries on those things were huge, and it was pretty heavy.
Did that one need like the dolly, where everything was strapped to the dolly? Remember how those big those things were?
No, it wasn't that. It was an RCA, and the batteries were pretty big. But yeah, it was a bulky, big camcorder. But no, it didn't need the dolly to haul around the VCR portion of it.
Brandon, could you quick question. Could you guys, and this is for Dina and Jen too, could you guys imagine stream, like, you know how chasers now are streaming their live stream and their chase and all that stuff? If what we had was still a big massive VHS camcorder, and you're driving and you see out the window, there's a, could you imagine that
you're
today?
Young. And you're a female, you get somebody to do it for you.
Yes.
You carry. Get that.
100%.
No, that would sorry. Be- Go ahead, Dina. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Brandon. Okay. So you graduated in 07.
Yeah.
Oh, you graduated in 07. How'd you get such a good gig on the Discovery Channel like 2 years after school? Like, I was like, 2 years.
Well, that was actually happened a lot by luck. I had gone out and chased. I started chasing with Matt in 2007, and we were known each other in high school, and he'd kind of go out with his group of friends. I'd take my friends, and we'd always wind up meeting on like this random dirt road, like Bob's Road, you know, and this was back really before cell phones were real popular. So I think we just had the same instinct and intuition to go to the same area as well. 2007 was really active in Kansas. We actually set a record in Kansas for the most reported tornadoes in a season in 2007. Wow. And then we broke that record in 2008. So it was really active close to home leading up to a lot of that. So that's how I think we kind of started getting our name out there, because we were working full-time jobs. I was working first shift and, you know, chasing evenings and, you know, till the early morning hours, going home, getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep, then going back into work and going out and doing it again. And you know, I was still, you know, in my 20s, so I had the energy to do that at that age. I can't do that now, but it was just a lot of luck, you know. Other chasers had followed us, and when they were looking for somebody for the show, it was actually Reed Timmer that recommended us at the last minute when they were looking for somebody. I remember me and Matt were out in Pratt County, Kansas, documenting a late season snowstorm that had dumped over 20 inches of snow on Pratt and Reno counties, which are the two counties just kind of west of Wichita by about an hour. And he called me up and he said, "Hey, I got this opportunity for you. They're looking for some people to come on and chase and forecast for Sean Casey, because he wants to get a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more mobile, and be able to jump from storm to storm a little bit easier. Would you like, you know, to do this opportunity?" And I said, "Yeah, that'd be great, but can I call you back?" Because there was a guy riding his bicycle through this blizzard, and I wanted to get a shot of it, you know, for, you know, the news network. So I quickly got off the phone with him, and I got that shot of this guy riding his bicycle through this blizzard. I think he was running down to the convenience store or something. But
is he getting his six pack? Then,
yeah, probably so. Yeah, that's common thing in Kansas. Got to get out and get your essentials, including your six pack during the blizzard. But yeah, I called him back, and you know, about 30 minutes later, and it was pretty quick. 3 weeks later, we were starting and filming on the third season of Storm Chasers.
Which is so incredible. And I have to ask you really quick, Brandon, were you on the Greensburg, Kansas tornado in 2007?
No, I was not. I was up on the Triple Point that day, up around Hill City. An event had occurred about a week before that near Protection, Kansas. And we'd gotten several tornadoes in that area. And I worked for a local news station out of Wichita doing their storm coverage out in the field. I was one of their storm chasers. And so that day, since everybody was on that same storm a week before and some tornadoes didn't get covered in northwest Kansas, that actually sent me up a little bit further north on that Triple Point along Interstate 70 and got tornado warned storms up there, but missed the Greensburg tornado. And I'm okay with that because from a storm chasing standpoint, those are the types of storms that, you know, they're going to happen, unfortunately, but if I can avoid them at all, you know, I try to, because things like Greensburg, Joplin, Moore, you know, they're things that, you know, I as a storm chaser don't enjoy seeing. And, you know, I probably with as close as I got to tornadoes back then and still do, you know, storms like that, I think I missed for a reason. I probably could have wound up in a pretty scary situation that night. I know there were several tornadoes or storm chasers that, with that, you know, turning back to the northwest after it went through Greensburg and having some satellite tornadoes, gotten some pretty close situations at night with that tornado. So I'm kind of thankful that I wasn't there. But at the same time, you know, from the big event, it would have been interesting to be there and kind of document that storm and maybe help forewarn people in the path. I know Mike Umshud from Dodge City National Weather Service did an amazing job that night at issuing that tornado emergency and probably helped save a lot of lives by doing that as well. But then, you know, doing the reports, you know, through TV and radio networks. So I think those are really essential for the people in the path of these storms. But no, I wasn't on Greensburg.
So Brandon, you were jumping back to Storm Chasers. I don't know that the series really explained and gave a whole lot of history to the fact that you and Matt Hughes had chased together prior and had kind of had built a chasing relationship together prior. So you talked about how you met. I guess what was that relate? How did you build that? Did you guys always then chase together? And so when you got this call, you kind of both got the call together and agreed to do it together. What was that relationship like, I guess?
Yeah, we had originally met in high school. He was a grade above me. He graduated in 1997. I graduated in 98.
Same high school?
Yeah, same high school.
Oh, really?
We actually had a class together. It was kind of a mix between junior and seniors. So my junior year, the ironic thing is the first tornado I saw on May 25th, 1997 was on a Sunday, and that was the day he was graduating. So that's one of the reasons he couldn't chase that day is because he was at graduation. He would have had to skip his graduation.
That's so funny.
That's when the seniors were graduating. I was a grade behind a junior. So I, like I said previously, had gone out with some of, you know, I had some buddies I'd take out chasing with me, and they'd help, you know, navigate. Back then we were looking at like gazetteers and road maps. You know, you didn't have all the electronic gadgetry you have now. And then he'd be out with, you know, some of his friends that would be helping out, you know, with the chasing and navigating as well. And we'd run into each other. And then 2007, I think gas prices hit like $4 a gallon. And we're like, hey, we're always pretty much on these same storms. Why don't we just team up and start chasing together? And I was trying to help him get into, you know, some of the video cell side of it. And I was doing a little bit of radio storm report. Radio network. We did a little syndicated show and kind of trying to get him involved in more things and kind of building a team, because it definitely helps when you have, you know, an extra set of eyes out there when you're chasing the storm as well.
So I guess for people that don't know, Matt had, and I can't remember what was it, the second season you guys were on, that Matt passed away.
Yeah.
From some complications of suicide. And I think mental health, Brandon, is very important, and especially in this industry. And thank God, I think it's coming to light a little bit more. And certainly there's some people in the weather community that are also kind of helping to just bring it up,
yeah,
and put it in the limelight. But I guess how did you find out when he had passed? Kind of how did you find out about that, and how it affected kind of the rest of that season for you all?
Yeah, I had actually called him up that morning and asked if he wanted to go down to Texas and chase. And we had just gotten back into town. I had my boys were 4 and 8 at the time, and he had 2 young boys as well. And he had said, no, I'm going to stay home with his boys that day. And it was later that night. I was way down in Texas, and I got a call from my dad, and he had told me what had happened. And, you know, definitely a devastating and tragic event. You know, and it was difficult to, you know, carry on. But at the same time, you know, I knew in the back of my mind it was what we loved to do together and things like that. And, you know, never really knew that he was as troubled as he was. And I wish I would have seen that. And maybe I could have helped a little bit more. But I think did a pretty good job of, you know, he was at his happiest, I think, when he was out storm chasing. So you always got the best version of him when we were together. So you didn't know how troubled and he was. And a lot of, you know, storm chasers, like you brought up in the community, you know, have had struggles and issues. We lost a chaser last year in Colorado. And it's happened before with like Eric Wynn. He was a really good photographer, took amazing photos of the Mulvane tornado in 2004, passed away to suicide. So definitely, I think maybe, you know, seeing some of the, you know, aftermath from these storms, damage weighs on some storm chasers. I think the competitive nature of storm chasing, you know, can have some effect on it. You know, where everybody's out there trying to get the best footage or get closest to the tornado or kind of, you know, things like that can I see it weighing on some storm chasers. And, you know, you just, you know, the one thing is you can't really beat yourself up for missing like a big event, because there's always going to be more. When I was younger, you know, I'd really be hard on myself if I missed a forecast or I missed a tornado. And the older I get, the more I realize that there's always going to be more. And that one you missed maybe last year that was the tornado of the year is going to be a distant memory, and you can, you know, there's always going to be more, and you're going to catch stuff that other people don't and things like that. But I'm glad you bring that up, because I see that more talks are being presented about that. And I definitely think it's a good thing to keep present, not only in the storm chasing community, but just generally. I think our society as a whole, it's kind of becoming more of a, more people are coming out about it, but I think it affects a lot more people than what statistics show.
I agree. And I think it's a lot of talking about it, like you said, is just making it, it's okay. Right. It's like, if I've got the flu, or if I've got, you know, some hereditary, you know, disease or so, it's a part of, it's an illness. And I think the more people that realize that, and you were talking, Brandon, not only storm chasers who, and I think you bring up a good point, because a lot of storm chasers see the aftermath of these storms and how it affects families. But also you're just in that high stress environment all the time. And it is competitive, because a lot of times it's competitive with yourself. But I also see this with meteorologists, and I equate it very much to air traffic controllers, Dina, right? That are having to manage this here. You know, you've got meteorologists that are having to manage this storm. We've got a storm here. We got a storm here.
Yeah.
You're trying to manage all that. And it's just a high stress environment, mm-hmm, that I think it's important that it's brought up. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the on-camera meteorologists definitely have it, you know, rough too, because then they're always being critiqued and, you know, criticized by a lot of the viewers. So, you know, they may get emails that, you know, can, if they take them personally, you got to, you know, push that out. But that can definitely lower your self-esteem by some of the criticism you're getting from, you know, just the average viewer. You don't even know who they are, but they send you an email that may ruin your day or, you know.
Yeah, just, hateful. Something.
Yeah,
and a lot of times, especially, well, I don't want to say just the women, but a lot of, for the women, they're getting critiqued on things that aren't even weather.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I've heard some of my friends say people would just do the dumb, like your fingers, your hands are ugly. Your fingers are too long. Like your hair looks like, just shut up.
Yeah.
We got Trollbot really tonight. Wished, remember that.
Yeah. I wish I really knew how people can just let it roll off their back.
Yeah, if like, you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah, shut your pie hole.
One of the golden rules, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brandon, so going on this topic, Phil, I love that you brought this up. Brandon, what do you do to kind of like release and de-stress after a storm chase? Because you've got like this adrenaline high, right? And especially if you're on a storm, you're on a tornado, and then, you know, it devastates a town, and then you're helping out the people, you know, in that town. Do you have like kind of a core couple people that you talk to about, wow, what we saw was atrocious and devastating? Or is there something else that you do just to kind of zen out and just de-stress from what you just saw?
Plus you gotta run a tour.
Yeah,
all that too. Yeah, Jen. Right. Absolutely. Tours,
that's you know, we try to stay in open country like that. With, you know, me taking other people out, we're not going to be jumping in there like, you know, we did with up there in Wadena, Minnesota, and then even in 2014, I was out chasing and stopped in Wessington Springs and helped out with search and rescue and stuff. But you know, you can't do that when you're running tours because that's too much of a liability. But it definitely helps, you know, talking to somebody. I think that's the number one thing. Like if you see things out there, you know, if you keep chasing long enough, you're going to see the damage. You're going to see the devastation. You may come across fatalities, serious injuries. You know, it's good to, you know, have someone to talk to or have some way to de-stress and get that, you know, off your chest, because if you keep things bottled up, it'll just keep building up. And, you know, storms, you know, they can be beautiful and magnificent out there over the open plains. And then they can become these ugly monsters when they're going into these communities. So they kind of have these two different sides to them. And I'd say just, you know, open up and be honest with your friends or your family. You know, I think if a lot more people would do that, instead of feeling like, oh, I'm going to be a burden to somebody or they don't care what I have to say. I think that would help a lot of people get through their struggles if they would just open up and talk about those types of things. And definitely, if you do see something, you know, that's gives you probably PTSD or, you know, really bothers you as a storm chaser, you definitely should seek help, talk to a therapist or a counselor about that, because, you know, keeping things inside and bottled up can be devastating. I didn't handle Matt's suicide as well as I probably should have, and that ate at me for years and years just because I didn't, you know, deal with things properly back then. I wanted to block it out and just, you know, carry on, and sometimes it's good just to express those emotions and let them out.
Agree. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some storm tours. But first, we're going to play a little storm chaser safety tip for you. So we'll be right back with Brandon right after this.
It's time for this edition of Stormfront Freaks Podcast Storm Chaser Safety Tip.
Join retired Fire Battalion Chief Randy Denzer, EMA Director Eddie Aldrin, and Police Officer Eric Fox as we discuss some of the most common storm chaser safety pitfalls to avoid.
All right, so we're talking storm chaser safety tips, and I'm with Randy Denzer. He's a retired Fire Battalion Chief with over 30 years in fire service. He's a current storm spotter and public safety director for the Spotter Network. Randy, let's talk a little bit about the car breaking down at night. Obviously, a lot of storm chasers were chasing at night or were chasing at dusk. And on the way home, it's dark. But the car breaks down, whether, you know, we've talked about running out of gas in another segment. But whether the car just breaks down, I guess, let's talk about what are some safe ways to get help.
All right. Well, rule number one is be prepared to chase, right? That's where it all starts with, Phil. I can't say this enough. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Before you go out the door, make sure that you have the right equipment. Make sure that your vehicle is in good shape, you know, to be able to go out and put yourself kind of in some ways and possibly a risky or harm's way, you know. So make sure everything's, make sure that you've planned well, make sure that you have the right equipment. Part of the right equipment, I can't say this enough, is an ANSI traffic vest. It's something that's required by any roadway worker across the United States, including police, fire, and EMS. You'll notice every wreck you go by, every firefighter, cop, and EMS person has an ANSI reflective vest. The reason I say ANSI, that's the standard it goes by. But basically, it's those super bright yellow vests. It used to be red back in the old days, and then they changed it, found out that that fluorescent yellow was actually even brighter. And you can get them at Walmart or anywhere for like 15, 20 bucks, okay? That needs to be in your vehicle. You need to have a breakdown kit with you. And that's basically just something that says, hey, you know, the reflective triangles, things of that nature, all that stuff's really good to have. If you find yourself in a situation where you are broke down, but where you find yourself in a situation along any type of roadway where you break down, the biggest thing is to get as far away from that actual active roadway as possible. One of the things I've noticed and witnessed along with every one of my brother and sister firefighters all these years is that the number of secondary collisions out there are staggering. And some testing and research was done on that years ago. And what they found out was that when you park on the side of the road, or you know, a fire truck's parked there or an ambulance, whatever it is, and with the flashy lights, including yellow, amber flashing lights, and when you turn them on, there's a propensity for people to drive towards whatever they're looking at. That's why so many secondary collisions happen along these roadways. So to avoid that, you need to get as far away from the roadway as you can. Call for help.
All right, last question is, what is the most common car failure besides running out of gas that you've seen that someone could carry something to prevent or to repair quickly?
Well, I think beyond the running out of gas is usually tires, right? So one thing to make sure that before you go, this is in your preparation before the chase, right? You know, you're going to go chasing tomorrow because it's a moderate risk day. So we're all going to go tomorrow. You know what you need to be doing the night before, besides just looking at the models, you need to go out and look at your vehicle, whatever you're going to be chasing in, right? And then you got to go and check your tires, make sure there's no abnormalities or anything else. But there's a big thing that I think most everybody fails at, and probably to some extent myself. You know, when was the last time you checked your spare tire? Number one, is it there? Number two, is it full? Is it have enough air in it? And number three, is the tools you need to change that tire out even in there? So I think making sure that's one of the big things is making sure your fluids are up, but also making sure that your spare tire is readily accessible and you have the tools to change it.
Great. Thanks, Randy.
Welcome to Outbreak, a new live stream format brought to you by the Stormfront Freaks podcast, hosted by me, meteorologist Brady Harris, also known as Stormcat 5. We'll go live on days of extreme weather with the goal of keeping you safe, informed, and entertained. The only question that remains is, are you ready for the outbreak?
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Delicious things to eat.
The popcorn can't be beat.
The sparkling drinks are just dandy. The chocolate bars and the candy. So let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
All right, welcome back to the show. So we've got Storm Chaser Brandon Ivy. He also runs a tour, a storm tour guide service, which I want to cover. But I did want to mention one of our viewers, Bill Farner. Farner? Is that the...
Farner?
Bill, forgive me if I mispronounce that, but said, you're one cool dude, Brandon. Don't forget it, and thank you for what you do.
Oh, well, that's thanks, nice. Bill.
That's too kind.
So that's awesome. So here's... I always find this interesting... Brandon, with people that run storm tours, because you have no idea who signs up for those storm tours. Yeah. And so you have done this now for a number of years. I looked, I saw you're already sold out of all your 2024 tours, which is awesome, and taking bookings for 2025. But I want to hear some good stories. You don't have to use names, but of some interesting people and or some interesting scenarios that have occurred with people on your tours.
This ought to be
good. Fortunately, there haven't been too many, but there's been a few along the way. We kind of just operate out of one vehicle, so we keep it small and private so they can be as educational as possible. But there have been some tour guests that have come out. One year we had one person that thought it would be, for some reason, thought it would be a good idea to wear diapers on the tour because they didn't think that we stop pretty frequently for restroom breaks, but I think that maybe they just
They don't normally wear diapers, or
I don't think so. I hope not. They're full grown adults.
And not
elderly either, so probably middle age. So that was probably one of the strangest things.
I've thought of that a few times.
Well, I've heard that people that
you go in front of your dash cam
all day do that, but you go in front of your dash cam.
I have. I've had some chasers that have gotten UTIs from not going to the bathroom, and they've like held it too long. So it's interesting.
Yeah, that's probably pretty smart to do, but. Yeah, I'm not that cruel to my guest. I do stop and let him use the restroom. So,
oh my god! Though,
what else? Any other good stories? Any other bizarre encounters?
Man, that's probably got to be the most bizarre that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, most of the people that come out, they're pretty great. It's the amazing thing about doing the tours is you get, you know, at the beginning of the week, you've got, you know, 8-10 strangers that all come together for, you know, the same reason. And, you know, after pretty much every tour, everybody's friends and like family. I mean, just the, you meet a lot of interesting people from all across the world that come over. And I guess I'm spoiled living in Wichita, Kansas, growing up in Tornado Alley, because there's people across the parts of the world that never get to experience the type of storms we do here in the Central Plains. So definitely I like to share my knowledge as much as I can with the guests and go through a forecast every morning and allow them to ask as many questions as they can, because I want them to get as much out of it. And some of them have gone on and out chasing on their own now, and it's kind of really cool seeing them go out and kind of do their own thing after you kind of show them the ropes. Because when I started doing it, I started going out and doing it by trial and error. I was a little too timid to go up to people like John Davies and Tim Marshall back in the day and be like, hey, can you know, you take me under your wing and show me the ropes and stuff. I was not the kid that was going to go out there and do that. So I started going out and learning on my own and got in some pretty scary situations early on, just not knowing how to maneuver and be in the right place around the storm.
Do you chase... ever in Dixie Alley? Like, do you take chase groups there? Because I know, obviously, I worked in local TV in Dixie Alley, and there's such a difference. I've chased all over between the plains and the rolling hills, the pine trees. You don't know if there's actually something on the ground, and it can just surprise you out of nowhere. do you try to avoid that? Or if the threat is there and people paid for, you know, this week or two of chasing, you just take them everywhere?
Yeah, we haven't really had that. This will be my 10th year coming up this season of doing it. And we haven't chased east of the Mississippi River yet, I think, except for Illinois. So, I mean, if that was the only option, then yeah, probably. But I myself, I've grown up in Kansas, so I guess I've been spoiled. I don't like going down there and chasing the HP rain wrap tornadoes that are low contrast and, you know, you can barely see them above the tree line in most cases. So I tend to stay more in the central plains. And if there ever was a case where that was the only threat area and we did go down there, definitely back off and keep a little further distance, because even on the plains, getting in there with some of those HP and rain wrap tornadoes are just really not worth it, because you're not going to get that photogenic shot that everybody's looking for out there. You're just going to get like this murky looking silhouette against the rain. And I mean, for the fact of saying you caught a tornado, I mean, that's great. But at the same time, I'm a little bit more about quality over quantity, getting that good stuff. So if there was a second target, that would probably be just more beautiful supercells and hail over like maybe Northeast Colorado. I'd opt for that second target instead of going down there into those hills and trying to.
I've tried to do it down here. I did it once. I'm like, oh, this is stupid. It's a waste of my time.
I've done it a couple times.
Traffic. I can't find an open spot. It's yeah.
Yeah, a lot of windy, curvy roads down there. We were down there on the big outbreak in 2011 and saw several tornadoes in Mississippi. But I've been back to Mississippi chasing 3 or 4 times since then, and come home empty-handed in terms of tornadoes. So, and there's been times in western Arkansas when I was younger where you were so close you could hear the tornado, but you couldn't see it because western Arkansas, you're in the Ozark regions and it's really hilly and mountainous, and a lot of trees in that area too. So really difficult chase areas from a storm chasing standpoint. So I think you really got to know a lot more about storm structure and things like that when you're getting close to these high precipitation supercells, because they can be really dangerous and the tornado behavior can be really erratic and unpredictable at times.
So what do you do on a blue sky bus day? So if you're deciding not to go across the Mississippi and there's nothing going on in the plains, what's your go-to on your tours?
Well, we haven't had too many down days, but you know, we'll use it as a travel day. Say if, you know, we got a long day to go for like the third day, we can turn it into travel day. There's been some other things. We've been down into the caves of Sonora, which are down in southern Texas. Been to Mount Rushmore, Devil's Tower, Garden of the Gods in Colorado. Been up to the top of Mount Capulin a few times in northeast New Mexico. So usually there's something in the local area, whether it's a national park, a local attraction, or a museum that we can go to on days that there is absolutely nothing to chase. But, you know, our tours average about 3,000 miles a week. So we'll go anywhere from the Canadian border to the Mexican border, from the Rocky Mountains to the Mississippi River, basically, if there's a chance of a severe storm. So we do have a few down days, and if we do, it'll be something like that.
Brandon, how long are your chase tours? Are they like a week, 2 weeks? What?
Yeah, they're a week. They're 6 days of chasing, 7 nights of lodging. So basically people fly into Wichita on Saturday. We depart Sunday morning. We return Friday night, and then have a swap out that Saturday and go again.
Nice. And Brandon, I have to give you a shout out from Emily B, who's watching. She said, I got to meet you at the Chaser Summit this year. I just want to say thank you for taking time to just talk with me. I really enjoyed meeting and talking with you. Thank you for everything you do.
Oh, well, thank you, Emily B. That was really kind words. Nice. I love talking to chasers. And one of the coolest things about doing the IMAX movie tour with the TIV 2 was just a lot of the kids that would come out that were in science, interested in science. And because when I was growing up, I was that kid, but we didn't have like, you know, a Dominator or a TIV or basically a hands-on vehicle or the Dow trucks that, you know, you could go out and talk to these scientists and researchers and storm chasers and kind of get, you know, see inside the vehicle and how the Doppler on wheels, radar trucks work, and all these tornado intercept vehicles and things like that.
Well, I love that you do that, Brandon. And I have really quick, one more quick question. So do you have like two or three tips when it comes to forecasting for storm chasing that either often storm chasers forget or that you always specifically look at where you've blown a storm chasing forecast before because you missed one thing on like 500 millibars or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, a lot of the new stuff that's coming out is great. You know, you got all these radar simulated models and all these parameters and stuff. But for me, I try to, you know, keep it simple, you know, and kind of go back to that, because one thing I find that if I get into digging into all these parameters and what the radar may look like on all these different cams, which are convective allowing model solutions, you know, what storms are going to be like during the day, usually that throws your forecast off quite a bit. So usually I'll start at the upper levels, work my way down with the winds, and then I'll go into more of the surface features, look at dew points temperature, winds at the surface and things like that. And then I'll get into some instability and stuff. But I try to keep it more of the bare bones meteorology forecasting, because like I said, a lot of these parameters are great, but you know, they can be wrong at a lot of times. And you got to look at a lot more pieces of the puzzle than just where the EHI is maximized, which is the energy helicity index. It kind of takes into account the instability and shear combination in the atmosphere and kind of outputs a number. But there's a lot of things and, you know, that I'll try to keep simple then. And then a lot of times during the chase, I like to look at the meso analysis, you know, almost every hour on the SPC, because that basically gives you kind of a really good indication of what's going on currently in the atmosphere with hourly updates there. So just keep it simple with the meteorology. I mean, don't overwhelm yourself. It's easy with all the cool stuff out there and the stuff that continue to come out. Some of it works great sometimes, and other times it fails really bad. So you can't really buy into all those forecasted radar simulations.
Oh, hey, that's the sound, Brandon. The amazing sound, because it is time for our lightning round, so this is our game show of flashy and brilliant questions that we always get to play with our guest. And so we've got a game tonight. We've played a similar version of this in the past, but this is Iconic Foods of Tornado Alley. All right, so what I'm going to do, this comes from the Food Network, so it's real legit, I'm sure. there's 10 states in Tornado Alley. Colorado, that I'm calling Tornado Alley. That it changes definition of that. You can have your own definition. This is mine. Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, New Mexico, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Texas. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the name of the state's iconic food, and then you have to tell me which of the Tornado Alley states this iconic food is known for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You with me on that? Okay. So, and our freaks can help you out as well. They okay. can, if you're struggling, freaks, feel free to maybe chime in, but you don't have to listen to
them. Help. I don't know.
Yeah. Brandon, you don't have to listen.
Yeah. You don't have to listen.
It's completely up to you. So here's the first iconic food. It is called Frito pie. Frito pie. Ooh. What state in those 10 Tornado Alley states I mentioned, what do you think that's iconic for?
Man,
I don't know. I'm Garrett on this. Garrett is our favorite one.
Yeah.
Garrett, what's your thinking? Look in the private chat, Brandon. Texas? He says Texas.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Do you think that?
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Give me an answer. Give me an answer.
I'd say Nebraska.
No, it is New Mexico.
Oh.
New Mexico. And the only reason I included New Mexico was because of Clovis last year. It's probably not really a Tornado Alley state, but did you hang out in Clovis with your tour all week last year?
Like several weeks, yeah. We
probably went by each other.
Stayed in Amarillo a lot. Headed west almost every day.
We were in Lubbock all the time.
Lubbock, yeah.
All right, here's the next one. Barbecue ribs. Barbecue ribs.
Is that Kansas?
Texas or Oklahoma? I don't know. Barbecue.
You're going to say Kansas. Oklahoma?
Garrett says Kansas, too.
Garrett says Kansas.
Garrett was correct on that one. Kansas. Barbecue ribs. And okay, here's the next one. Sweet corn.
Iowa. I'm going to go Iowa.
Iowa, too. They're in the Corn Belt.
Yeah. That is correct. Woo! That is Iowa.
You did it.
All right, here we go. Tin Roof Sunday. I have no idea what a Tin Roof Sunday is, but it's iconic in some state there.
Tin Roof Sunday.
In the plains.
South Dakota? I don't know. That's a complete guess, guys. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to go with Colorado.
Colorado? Nope. Apparently Nebraska has Tin Roof Sundays.
Okay. This one's a hard game. What that
is. It is a hard game.
Let's go with brisket. Brisket.
Oh, Texas. Did we do Texas already?
No, we haven't done Texas.
We still have Colorado, Minnesota, Missouri, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Texas.
Do you think it could be Missouri?
I was going to
say. What do you think, Brandon?
I'd say probably Texas or Oklahoma.
I'll give you Texas because you said it first. Good job. Awesome work. All right. Here we go. Steak. Just good old steak.
Oklahoma. Oklahoma.
Yeah, that'd be Oklahoma.
That is correct. Okay. Let's go with hot dish.
Hot dish.
I was just talking to my wife about hot dish a couple days ago.
He was like, I want a hot dish. Hot dish.
I wasn't necessarily talking about it. I don't know.
MJ says Minnesota, and he lives in Minnesota.
I probably agree with MJ.
Good job, MJ.
That's correct. Nice. That is Minnesota. All right, lamb chops. Lamb chops.
What do we even
have? We still have Colorado, Missouri, and South Dakota.
South Dakota, Missouri?
Missouri. I don't know. I'm making that up, but I don't know.
Yes.
Everybody's winging it.
We are winging it.
Give me, what do you think, Brandon? You got three choices, multiple choice. Colorado, Missouri, or South Dakota?
Curtis is North Dakota.
Colorado.
You go with Colorado? Yeah. Lamb chops? You'd be correct.
Ooh, good.
All right. So here we go. You tell me. So we've got Missouri and South Dakota. One is known for toasted ravioli. The other is known for lefse. Which is which?
Toasted ravioli.
And do you know what lefse is?
No.
No.
Okay. It's a Swedish kind of Norwegian.
That would have to be further north, South Dakota. I would think. Yeah. Lefse is this. I think that's like.
Let's see, South Dakota.
So what do you think, Brandon?
That sounds good to me. Let's go with that. Yeah.
Okay. You're saying what? Lefse, South Dakota. Ravioli is Missouri.
What MJ said.
Yeah.
That would be correct.
Yay! That was hard.
Well done.
That was hard.
That was good work, Brandon. Well done.
I think we got more than we missed, didn't we?
I think you did. And that's a successful round. Heck, if you got one, that's a successful round. So that's good. That's really good. So do us a favor, Brandon, and tell everybody how they can follow you on social media. And I know your 2024 tours are booked, but what about 2025? Where can they go?
Follow me on social media, X, Twitter. It's at Brandon IVWX. I'm on Facebook. Instagram. I'll be posting a lot once we get out and start chasing the season. And then if you're interested in a tour for the 2025 season, it's just stormchasingtour.com.
It's pretty good. Like, yeah, if anybody that was, you got in on the,
you got
Google
a good
search.
Domain name.
on that one. That was good. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take our final break, but don't forget, you can find Stormfront Freaks merchandise this storm season at helicity.co. So Helicity is the dream store of weather stuff for weather geeks. From t-shirts to drink containers, you can shop our entire Stormfront Freaks catalog of merchandise and the best storm-themed gear available. Just visit helicity.co for the Weather Superstore and the Freak in You. So we're going to, like I said, mention, we're going to go to a break, but we're coming back. We have got Weather Trollbot. So you've got to stick around for that. So stay tuned.
I love Weather Trollbot.
Hi, my name is Mark Johnson, and I am the co-host and co-producer of Stormfront Freaks Podcast, the most entertaining weather podcast on your listening device. And here's a message to get you weather ready. The spring season is here, and we want to prepare you for spring weather threats, which include tornadoes, lightning, flooding, and thunderstorms. Being weather aware is important. Make sure you stay informed about weather conditions and know what type of weather is forecast for your area. Knowing the weather ahead of time will help you to prepare. For more information, please visit the NOAA Weather Ready Nation website at weather.gov/WRN.
Hi, this is Lori Bailey, and I am a Southern Arizona photographer and storm chaser. You are listening to the Stormfront Freaks podcast.
Let's take a drive under the moon. Let's take a drive under the somber sky. Let's take a drive under the moon.
Oh yeah, everybody. This is the part of the show we call Weather Fools, and it's one of the funnest parts of the show because, unlike when I was younger, everybody's got a camera with a phone with an HD camera on it, and we catch you doing stupid things in weather, and of course, everybody will get you doing it before they even try to help you. Sure. And so we've got a couple tonight. I know I have a few, and Phil has a couple, but I have two of them, and my big thing is like people driving through flooded roadways. I'm like, why do you do it?
Holy cow.
Look at that.
Like, this looks like they're in the deep stuff. In the ocean. You know, there is a guy like in the back here that's kind of, I think, in a red truck, and they're turning off and trying to get out of it. But, you know, you could see people ahead
of
you.
Waves.
There's waves. It's really ridiculous. So stop it. It's like my biggest pet peeve, and I will get you if I find you doing this. I'm going to take a video of it, and I'm going to put it on the show. So this is just one of the crazy ones. But here's another one.
That is,
and it gets me mad when there's a bus. So this bus is driving through flooded waters. There's kids on it. The kids are sticking their heads out the window, and you know. Give it here like a second. You could tell her front tire goes down in like a hole for a second.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I can't even tell if she's moving or she's starting to float. But not only do you have kids on there, but if you hit something or a hole and those kids have their heads out the window, they're going to get hurt. You know, like these flood videos just drive me nuts because it's preventable. Like the big rule of thumb I have, if you can't see the line on the road, it's too deep. I mean, obviously.
And doesn't even know it.
It's like, how do you even see where the road is there?
Maybe that's what they were hitting, but yeah, that drives me nuts. So, but Phil, I'd like to see what you've got next.
All right. So I call this one April Fool. So this was Twitter X. Southeast Michigan Weather made a post that tornado warning in effect. Take shelter immediately. Please be advised a tornado warning has been issued for our area. The National Tornado Service reports a severe thunderstorm with the potential to produce a large tornado located over your area as of 8:44 p.m. Heading east at 50 miles per hour. Watermelon-sized hail looks likely with this.
And National Tornado Service?
Well, yeah. Oh. So obviously it was a poor attempt at trying to do April Fools, but if that's what you're trying to do is give legitimate weather information on your social media, you don't screw around with people with something like that. Yeah.
That is,
that's not the thing to joke about.
Yeah.
Not
at poor all. April Fools joke.
That was poor. I agree. All right. Yeah. This was from Garrett, our friend Garrett. And I just said, what else are you going to do? Question mark. because, you know, what else are you going to do? So here's flooding in like probably a little stream or a road, and what you'll see going by is a guy on a jet ski.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. All you need to do is hit one rut, one tree. He's in pain.
Guy just cruising on a jet ski in the flood. So, you know, but I don't know. What is that? Is he a weather fool? I don't know.
Yes.
Maybe he's actually a brilliant
being a mother. I'd be like, get your ass off that thing and come in right now.
Maybe he's trying to rush and get to somebody. You never
know. Last one's eeny, meeny, miny, moe. And this is another just because, flood. Again, flooded waters. Which one's going to make it and which one's not going to make it? Obviously, a couple cars lost out on that gamble. You have a few trucks that are able to cross this heavily flooded road. It's even making a wake as it crosses the road.
Yeah. If it's a couple cars going on your hood, it's too deep.
Yeah, a couple cars just didn't quite make it. They're out.
They're ruining their engines by doing that, too.
Oh, my God,
completely destroyed. Yeah. Even if they can get through.
Dummies, you're weather fools.
Brandon, you've never done right?
No, I've never done it. I film people doing that quite a bit, though. And I just I don't get it. It's like,
send it to us. We'll put it on weather work pools. Or, you know. But if you guys want to go back and watch these, you can go to thestormfrontfreaks.com and check out episode 207 show notes. Oh, yeah, it's the Weather Troll Bot. So this is the part two. Unlike Weather Fools, where we make fun of people doing stupid stuff, Troll Bot, we have a little robot that Phil found at some garage sale. And this one is where we kind of like snap back at people who are being mean to our friends, especially on air, trying to be jerks to somebody. And, you know, we search around, whether it's the dark web, X, wherever. And if they're being kind of jerks to our friends or saying mean things or doing anything like that, then we actually get Trollbot to come in and tell us what this person who they were trying to be mean to was actually thinking. Because a lot of our friends are professional. They let it roll off their back and they're like, you have a nice day. But what are they really thinking? So that's where Trollbot comes in.
So yeah, so I've got a couple tonight, and this, if you haven't put the kids to bed yet, this would be a good time to do that before we have Trollbot interpret the thoughts of our weather friends, because Trollbot does a pretty good job, I think, of actually interpreting what they were thinking while they were getting trolled on social media before they responded. And so the first one I'm going to share with you all actually comes from the National Weather Service office in Fort Worth. And so we don't actually know who this was, but we probably know what this office was thinking. So they had made a post. I know we just went through the eclipse, solar eclipse. And Brandon, where were you at during the eclipse?
Yeah, just west of Popular Bluff. We set up right on the line of totality. It was amazing.
Nice. Okay. And you got some good photos and video, I imagine.
Yeah. It turned out a little bit better than the 2017 eclipse. I was a little bit more prepared this year.
Good. Okay. How were you not prepared in 2017?
2017, I used like a Canon Rebel with I think I had the 70-250 like kit lens on it, and this time I had a higher end Canon, a Mark IV, and a 600mm lens that was a Sigma, so a little bit better equipment. So
okay,
I was able to not only zoom in better, but you know, get a little bit sharper images.
I had my iPhone with a solar eclipse glass filter.
Oh, yeah, those things. Oh, wait.
Perfect.
Yeah. you were
a little, little piece of
it is. That's pretty much what it was. It's my photos look that way, too. So how about Jen? Where I know you saw it. Where were you at?
Yeah, I was up in upstate New York in Rochester. And so I stayed with family and friends, and I knew there was a chance of clouds. We had clouds, so I couldn't really see it, but we experienced the darkness, which was fascinating. I've never done that before. And the fact that it instantly got brighter, it wasn't a gradual, like the instant darkness to instant brightness, like stunned us all. And the kids were like, what is going on? So
So National Weather Service Fort Worth, they basically had put up a little scenario forecasting the cloud cover. They were kind of a little bit on the edge there, a little bit with what the clouds would be like. And Kate tweets, I don't know if this is a real person or a bot, but Kate tweets came back and said, well, good thing you're wrong 90% of the time.
Ouch.
Jerks.
90% is pretty high. But so they actually came back. The office came back and said, we'd be very interested to see your verification data set that supports this statistic.
Good for them.
I mean,
that's a great response.
So it was a very good response. But what we're going to do is, so we got to plug this into TrollBot. We got to kind of plug in all this information. And then what TrollBot's going to do is basically interpret what that office, the National Weather Service office in Fort Worth, was really thinking when they made that post, because they probably weren't really thinking that. So I got to go ahead and plug this in first. Type it in, and then TrollBot's got to compute everything. And let's see what they were really thinking.
What a clown. Stick it where the sun don't shine.
Oh, clever.
Nice.
I love it.
Nice.
Yes, TrollBot. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Stick it where the sun
pretty
don't
good.
Shine.
Pretty good.
They should. They really probably should have posted that. They'd be okay saying that, right?
Yeah, actually, they would. Yeah, I would have found that hilarious. That would have gone viral.
All right, so the next one is a former guest that we had on this year, Katie Nicolau, meteorologist Katie Nicolau.
Oh, Katie, somebody made her.
She does a great job of posting all this crap. Mm-hmm. She puts it out there. But so she had someone named John Salander mentioned to her, sounds good. Are you interested in an older man?
Oh.
To one of her posts. And she replied, it's not that hard to not be creepy, y'all. All I did was post a picture of a bunny. And he's a registered sex offender. It's bad enough to crawl around the internet asking young women if they're interested in an older man, but this takes it to a whole new level.
Whoa.
Oh, you creepy. Ugh.
Ugh. I know. That just kind of make you
talk
like,
to her. Ugh. We like her. I like her.
So we were just talking about, right, women having to deal with some of this crap that has nothing to do with weather and their forecasts and all that stuff. But I'm interested in this one. So let's we'll go ahead and plug this into TrollBot. And then let her compute. And then I'll play. I love these new AI. I mean, we've tried to add AI to Weather TrollBot, and it's really added to the voice. I think it's pretty good. So I let's see what Katie was really thinking.
Where the fuck does it come from? Oh, wait, this mother creeper is a pedo. I just threw up in my mouth.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. That's creepy, though. Oh,
that's very creepy.
You're alone.
Yeah.
That is extremely creepy. I mean, I'd have to imagine you've gotten, but you two have gotten something like that, too, of some sort.
Oh, I've had major security issues and police and all that called because it's creepy. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So on that note, I think that just about does it for this episode of Stormfront Freaks Live. Thanks to TrollBot for sharing all of that. But do us a favor, if you like the show, go ahead and hit the follow or the subscribe button for us. It just helps us out as well, get recognized and for other people to see us and find us. And also, if you do us a favor, if there's a really good episode you liked, or if it's this one with Brandon, just share it on social media. Just do the little share button and share it on social media, or you text it to somebody. That would be great. Let's find out as well. So we already talked to Brandon, but Jen, where can people find you and follow you?
Yes, on X at @JWatson_WX and on TikTok and Instagram at Jennifer Weather, on Facebook, Jennifer Watson TV.
Very good. Dina, how about you?
I'm usually only posting to like X, maybe Threads and Instagram, and that's LadyPilot70.
So you're not getting all those TikToks I'm sending you? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, if you send them to me, I have an account. I can watch them, but I don't think I've ever posted a TikTok ever.
That's fair. That's fair.
Special, I can watch, though.
Special thanks to our guests tonight, Brandon Ivy. Brandon, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was a great time.
Yeah, we had a great time. That was good. So thanks for coming on. We'll have to do that again. And this is what's cool. So we just had someone on who was one of the initial members of the TIV 2. Well, coming up on the next episode, we've got the new TIV 2 owner, Ryan Shepherd, who bought the TIV 2 and now is using that to storm chase himself. Ryan Shepherd's going to be on the show. We're going live Thursday, April 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. We'll be on YouTube, Twitter, X, and Facebook. And the audio podcast will be available that following weekend as well. And for those of you watching, stick around for our after show party. But for Brandon and Jen and Dina, MJ, Garrett, Dan, and I think Angela is still on. I'm going to signal the all clear. We'll catch you guys next time. Good night, everybody.
See you guys.
Thank you for tuning in to the Stormfront Freaks podcast. You can watch our bi-weekly show live on youtube.com/stormfrontfreaks and download the audio version on your favorite podcast player. For links to our Patreon team of exclusive benefits, show notes, past shows, new videos, merchandise, and more, visit our website at stormfrontfreaks.com. While you're there, check out our interactive chaser radar from our friends at zoomradar.com. If you'd like to contact us with questions or make comments about the show, shoot us an email to questions@stormfrontfreaks.com or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Search for Stormfront Freaks. We'd love to hear from you. Join us next time and tell a friend about the Stormfront Freaks podcast.